Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Chris Langham guides us through the Old Testament book of Numbers. Now to Pastor Chris.
Numbers 13 on Through the Word, and a peek into the future. We come to a crossroads in Numbers, a place of decision between the future and the past. The Israelites will get a sneak peek into what lies ahead, but will they move forward? And will you? Let's start in at verse 1. The Lord said to Moses, "Send some men to explore the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the Israelites. From each ancestral tribe, send one of its leaders." So at the Lord's command, Moses sent them out from the desert of Paran. All of them were leaders of the Israelites. So God calls for an expedition party. Explore the land that the Lord has promised to Israel. 12 men will go, one leader from each tribe in Israel. And for each one, it truly is a peek into the future of their people. This is their home, promised on oath by God to their forefather Abraham, a promise renewed and reminded time and again, generation after next. This was God's plan for their future. Will it be all that they've dreamed? Will they have the faith to go in? Will they trust God? Imagine it. Imagine God gives you a sneak peek into your future. I'm not saying you get to hop into a DeLorean and mess around with a space-time continuum. I'm just saying you get a little glimpse of God's plan for you. Just long enough to see some pretty amazing plans, but not long enough to see how it all works out. Family, ministry, challenges, trials. What if you saw something awesome? So awesome that you don't know how you would handle it. Would it excite you or scare you? The Israelites are getting a look ahead, and what's ahead is indeed awesome. But when they see it, will they move forward or shrink back? Remember, the Israelites are in the desert for trust training. Now the test. Will they trust God's promise for their future? Will they follow him in? The 12 leaders of the expedition party are listed in verses 4 through 15. Two of them should stand out. Now aside from Shammua, who I hear was a whale of a guy, the two to watch for are in verses 6 and 8, Caleb from Judah and Hosea from Ephraim. It's always interesting to catch a hero's story before they're a hero. Humble beginnings lay the foundation for the man who will be. This is our first glimpse of Caleb. My son's name is Caleb, named after this very hero. And Joshua was introduced in Exodus 17 and 24. He is Israel's general and Moses' assistant. Now notice in verse 16 that Moses gave Hosea, son of Nun, the name Joshua. Names in the Bible often carry meaning, especially when you see a name change. The change in name usually corresponds to a change in the person. Hosea's original name means save, a great name for a military general whose job it is to save the day in battle. But Moses changes Hosea's name to Yehoshua, or in English, Joshua. From save to the Lord saves. The general of Israel's army needed to know that only the Lord can save, and he would be reminded every time he heard his own name. Joshua also happens to be the name of another savior. The name Jesus is Greek for the Hebrew name Yehoshua. That's Joshua. This Joshua in Numbers, we shall see later, will be a picture or type of Jesus. Now in verse 17, Moses gives the 12 men instruction on what to look for as they explore Canaan. And here we get the hints of trouble. Moses' directions go far beyond what God called for. As you read, compare God's instruction with Moses. God simply said, "Explore the land which I am giving the Israelites." Simple. Moses tells them in verse 18 to see what the land is like, and whether the people who live there are strong or weak, few or many. If God is giving them the land, why do they need to know whether the people are strong or weak, few or many? There's a lesson here for us, too. When we get anxious for the future, we want to know what's coming. Are the trials big or small? Is the land good or bad? But God doesn't give us the details, just his promise. He has a plan, a future and a hope. He's working it all out for our good. If God promises to get you through, don't ask, through what? In verse 21, the reconnaissance team is off. 40 days of exploring the land, spying out the enemy, and collecting fruit. Big fruit. The land was definitely fruitful. After about 500 miles of travel, the team returns with the field report, beginning in verse 27. They gave Moses this account: "We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. Here is the fruit." The report starts well. The land is good. Milk and honey. Great big fruit. It is just as God had promised. That's important. Pay attention when God keeps his word. If only the Israelites had. Verse 28. "But the people who live there are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there." Things have gone south. The focus turns quickly from fruitful fields to powerful people. Big people, fortified cities, scary stuff. Verse 30. "Then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, 'We should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it.'" I love Caleb. His wholehearted faith in God is legendary, but his courage does not appear to be contagious. Verse 31. "But the men who had gone up with him said, 'We can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are.' And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, 'The land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim.'" So the spies saw Nephilim. What were Nephilim? We don't know exactly. They might be giants, but not from Istanbul or Constantinople. Actually, they're from Genesis 6. If you want some Bible conspiracy theory, look up Nephilim. They could be half demons. They could just be giants. Not the size of buildings, more like Andre the Giant, only 9 or 10 feet tall. We really don't know if the spies saw them at all, but they thought they did. And when it comes down to it, what they saw was the heart of the problem. Faith comes by hearing. All of the spies had heard the promises of God. God gave them the land. He promised victory. Would they believe the word they heard or fall in fear at the challenge they saw? We walk by faith, not by sight. Back in verse 33, "We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them." Did you catch that? Grasshoppers in our own eyes. Their eyes see the enemy large and themselves tiny, but they forgot to look up. Believer, you have a promised land. You have a future and a hope. Will you press on or shrink back? Will you trust the word you heard or cower at the sight of trials? Will you look at the enemy or at yourself, or fix your eyes on Jesus? We'll find out how the Israelites respond in chapter 14. For you and I, this is the challenge of faith. Doubters mock what they call blind faith. But faith is not blind. Faith sees more. Genuine faith hears the word, looks past the giants, and sees the invisible God.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener-supported, so thanks for giving. Chris Langham is the founder of Through the Word Ministries and pastor of Refuge Long Beach in Long Beach, California. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.